Hey everybody, welcome to the Morphin Grid. I'm Josh.
Excuse me. Just snuck up on me, and I'm Jake.
And today we're watching episode 512, Power Rangers Dino Thunder episode 16, Burning at Both Ends.
It aired May the 22nd be with you, 2004, written by Ann Knapp, directed by Andrew Merrifield. May 22nd, 2004... Why does that date? It's not 2004, it's 2003. It's May 23rd, 2003 was when the final episode of Buffy aired, in case anyone was wondering.
May of 2004, I don't remember exactly. I maybe graduated from high school by now.
Okay.
If not now, then very soon.
Soonly. We have a guest. We're killing time. We have a guest. David Finkney, welcome back to the show.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Shannon mentioned that you liked Dino Thunder, and I know we have not had you on since Time Force, so I was like, oh, we should get David on.
Yeah, I do like Dino Thunder. It's a fun season.
So today is also our podcast anniversary when we record this. This is 7 years of the Morphin Grid.
Oh, God, that is today.
That's today.
Congrats.
Normally we do like something special for it, but we didn't.
We did all the bits about it last episode, 3 days ago.
Exactly. Here's the thing. I need to issue a correction on that one. It was not actually the 10th anniversary of Avril Lavigne's What the Hell. It was the day after the 10th anniversary of Avril Lavigne's What the Hell. So
the whole backbone of the last episode is
a day off and therefore wrong and null and void. Yes. But we didn't do anything for our anniversary this year because I spent the last 4 days thinking it was Monday and I was only right one time. So, like, you know, time's kind of wishy-washy right now.
Yeah, I have no concept of it anymore.
That's
fair. So I thought instead we would talk a little bit, because David, we haven't talked to you in a while, so we don't know your feelings on Hasbro and what you think they're doing and how that's going. But I want to talk a little bit about that and like what they could do for the reboot movie, because they're making another movie, and someone in the Discord was like, they're going to do this, and I was like, boy, I hope not, because that might go bad.
Yeah, I mean, I have, I guess, a lot of feelings towards it. So I watched, you know, I know you guys are kind of, you go in order of the seasons, and yep. I've seen them all. So naturally, I watched Beast Morphers, which was the first of the Hasbro era Rangers. And, you know, without spoilers, like, overall, you know, it was pretty good, right? It was, you know, definitely a stronger first season for an era than, like, the Neo Saban era, like going into like Samurai,
right?
Which, yeah, I don't know if that necessarily sets the bar super high, but
never know. Samurai, yeah. Impossible to find once it's off of Netflix.
Yeah, they're taking it off Netflix, and it is the hardest one to get your hands on. So,
that might be a problem.
Yeah, so hopefully by the time we get there, and like 4 years, they will have
fixed that problem. Yeah,
figured it out, and we can watch it again. But
yeah, so like watching that first season, I was like, all right, well, it's at least pretty decent. I enjoyed the Rangers themselves. Is it the greatest season? No. Is it the worst? Definitely not.
Okay, good.
So it's like, all right, I'm a little, you know, less nervous, but I think the scary part is, you know, reading through all the, like, we're gonna have Power Rangers stuff that's branded for children and stuff that's branded for, like, adults.
Right.
Where it's just like, well, what is that? Does adults mean, like, the 2017 Rangers movie? That might be fine. Or does adults mean, like, that, remember that, like, fan film? Like,
Power / Rangers? Yeah.
Yeah, the one that's, like, if it lasted any longer than 10 minutes, it definitely would have overstayed its welcome.
The director, after it had a negative reaction, was like, well, it was just parody anyway.
Yeah, that was like, actually, you didn't get it.
Yeah, like, if that's what they mean by adult, then that's a problem, in my opinion. You know, and then also, like, what does for kids mean? Does, you know, is for kids still like the
that's what, know, I heard is that the kids show is still going to be like Power Rangers as we know it, where they like take the Sentai and they adapt it, and then that's just on Nickelodeon or whatever.
Yeah, but you know, there's all sorts of rumors though that, you know, Dino Fury, the one coming after Beast Morphers, might be the last one that they use Sentai footage from.
I've heard that too. Yeah,
and that's come up like several times, which, you know, that's kind of jarring. But, you know, it's a wishy-washy answer, just saying, like, it could be good, it could be bad. You know, from my viewpoint, you know, if we are to, like, you know, make, if Hasbro does make their own kind of, like, universe and own kind of, like, original content, you know, we've seen it work. Like, I personally like the Power Rangers comics. I think that the 2017 movie, while it has the fault of every single origin story superhero movie, was still, you know, fun.
Yeah.
It can work, but, you know, it's one of those things where you see these reboots with these massive changes where, like, we've also seen it go horribly wrong. So I guess that's all to say, like, I'm cautiously optimistic because after, like, you know, 20 some odd seasons of Rangers, like, I don't have a choice but to, like, continue
hope
forward,
for the
best. Like, I've invested so much time into the show, the movies, the comics, the games, you know, even, like, the Hyperforce, you know, Twitch
streamed. Watch Hyperforce?
I'm on the last two episodes of Hyperforce right now.
It's a commitment, for sure. I haven't gotten into it because every episode is longer than I have to spend on anything.
Yeah, every episode's 3 hours long, so it's taking me forever.
Yeah, I might check it out now. I might check it out now because I have 8 hours at work where I just try to ignore everyone I work with. So I have a lot of podcast listening time, and I know there's, like, an audio podcast version of it. So I might give it. I might give it a shot. Now might be the time.
Yeah, yeah, give it a shot. I definitely have fun with it. You know, it takes, like, a minute to kind of, like, get its footing, but they, you know, they tie into a lot of really fun, like, mythos for both the show and the comics, and kind of, like, pull it all together. So I don't know if that fully answered your question, but, like, I don't know. I'm just kind of, like, I'm waiting to see what happens post Dino Fury. You know, pulling it from Netflix kind of sucks. Luckily, you know, Shannon and I, we bought that collection in the Red Ranger helmet that has the first 20 helmet. Seasons.
Yeah.
So we got through pretty much, I think Megaforce is where it ends.
Okay.
If I remember correctly. So, like, we have most of the season. So luckily for us, we can still, like, watch it if we need to. But the...
Just got
to
carry a 100-pound helmet upstairs if you want to do that. Right.
Yeah. That's the only problem. You know, definitely on Netflix, it's way simpler. And moving it from Netflix is kind of jarring. Like everyone has Netflix. So, like...
Yeah, that's what we were saying when the news dropped. Like, where are you going to go that gets more people to watch Power Rangers? And also, like, I don't know if you... Like, you know how, like, they're... Like, Mighty Morphin's going to stay on there. The first three seasons of Mighty Morphin.
Yeah.
It's everything from Alien Rangers on, which is wild, because if you're a kid or if you're anybody and you're like, I'm going to get into Power Rangers, and you watch the first three seasons of Power Rangers, it ends with them turning into children and losing. Yeah. Like,
and then, that's going to be weird. The next one available is, like, Ninja Steel, I think.
For now. Ninja Steel and Beef Morphers are still on there for now because of, like, a contract thing. But as soon as those, like, 2 years or whatever runs up, those are probably also going to leave Netflix. So, like...
Yeah, I was just talking to Latasha today, and I was like, man, on February 1st, watching this show is going to suck.
Next week, a couple weeks from now, it's going to get hard.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come into the studio, get the DVD out, bring it back to the living room, turn on the PlayStation, put the DVD in, wait for it to load, find the episode I need to watch, and then play it, instead of just turning on the TV and going to Netflix, and, like, it's the first option on the screen.
And hitting watching,
Yeah, it's going to be a pain. Well, I don't know. I mean, it could – there could be good – points to it. I don't know. The toys have been great.
The toys look dope.
I got the Zords for Christmas. I got the Megazord back there now, finally.
Oh, nice.
They were very cool. I've seen a lot of complaints about the toys, though.
I think, unfortunately,
that's Power Rangers
people
fans.
Are going to just complain because, there's, you know, a lot of Ranger fans are kind of upset a lot.
Well, cross that over with a toy collector, too, and that's a Venn diagram. Yeah. That's a very gross middle.
Yeah.
Very true.
Yeah,
I have a lot of the Lightning Collection stuff. I shouldn't say a lot, but I have a decent amount. And I've been happy so far. I haven't really had any, like, major, like, quality control issues or anything. And
also, it's like a budget action figure, so I don't know what these people are expecting to get out of it.
But they're like, the molds are really good. Like, the faces, with the exception of the Zio Tommy, who looks like Jason Segel, everyone looks pretty much like themselves. Like, it's pretty solid, like, face molds and stuff for most of them that I've seen.
Yeah, the face molds are pretty good. And also, I just kind of like the fact that Hasbro didn't just, like, go, all right, well, the only Ranger season that exists is Mighty Morphin, right?
Right.
Like, you know, I have a Magda Defender and a Shadow Ranger, and you know, there's all these, like, you know, they put out the Ranger Slayer, like they're pulling from so many different parts of the Rangers universe that, you know, it's kind of nice to be like, cool, it's not only Mighty Morphin all the time,
right.
Or whatever the current season of Rangers is.
Yeah. Which is, I think what the Neo Saban era kind of, up until they started doing the Lightning, when they realized that like the old seasons would get them money too, it was just like, here's Samurai. That is all there is. Don't look for anything else. Here's Samurai. Just enjoy it.
Yeah. So like, I don't know. I like the fact that, you know, I don't know. The Lightning collection so far has been really good. Being able to have a Magda Defender figure, never thought I'd have that.
Right. That's pretty dope.
Yeah.
So
he comes with the sword and the shotgun version of his sword, which looks rad.
Yep. Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
So the other thing I want to talk about before we go watch the episode is they're making a movie. They're going to be doing a reboot movie. Mm-hmm. And so we were talking on the Discord about like what they could do. Somebody suggested they just adapt Talkger or like a season that they haven't, and I was like, they're never gonna do that. It's gonna be Mighty Morphin,
because
that is unfortunately where like the name comes from. Like anyone like goes, oh, Power Rangers, like Jason and Tommy and Kimberly, like, you know, they don't go like, oh, Power Rangers, oh, you mean Lightspeed Rescue, like,
oh,
no,
oh,
one
you
ever,
mean like TJ, right? and Cassie and Ashley.
Yeah, no one jumps in later. I mean, like, Power Ranger fans are always like, I want them to do something other than Mighty Morphin, and they're like, that doesn't make us the money that we want, so we're not going to do that,
right?
But I had the idea that instead of doing a reboot, they should just do a sequel.
Okay,
they should just do like Mighty Morphin Power Rangers : Generations or something, right? Like it's the same, you can play with the timeline however you want, but have like new people get the same powers, because I feel like if you reboot it again, especially like only, you know, 4 years after the last time they rebooted, you're setting people's expectations like not only high but like just in a weird way of like, am I gonna like this as much as I like the original Mighty Morphin characters? And the answer is no, because you were five when you watched that and you were stoked about every single thing that happened, right?
Right.
So, like, now you go into it and you're like, oh, this isn't the Kimberly that I know. This isn't the Jason that I know. This isn't the Zach that I know. And, like, people get mad about that. But if you take that away from them and you say, these are new characters, but those characters are still here, you can still get, you know, Walter Jones to come back and Amy Jo Johnson and all them. Like, just have them show up as, like, for not just cameos, but, like, as part of the world. Then I feel like you are taking the onus off of this new cast to be like new versions of characters we like, and I feel like that would probably help them a lot.
Yeah, no, I think that would be cool. I've always thought that, you know, it would be great to get a movie, because at this point I feel like Mighty Morphin is kind of venturing into the Spider-Man realm of like, do we need to learn that he was bitten by a radioactive spider? We've done this like 100 times, you know, and then Homecoming was just like, so here's Spider-Man, like, you know the deal.
Yeah, it's not like Batman where it's like every Batman movie you have to see the Waynes die, and they killed him twice in Batman versus Superman. Like,
yeah, they, another know? Movie I have strong feelings on.
it's a bad one.
So like, I think it would be good that, like, whether, you know, I don't know what Hasbro's doing in terms of they're going to make their own, like, their own Rangers or whatever, but regardless, I do think what should happen is that, one, the movie should have already acknowledged that, like, Power Rangers have existed.
Yeah.
Like, they are here. And that team can be Mighty Morphin, and to your point, maybe they are trading, like, a new team. Maybe they're like, look, we've done this for so long, like, we, you know, we need to kind of, like, pass on this mantle. And whether it means that they're passing on the mantle and they're going like, hey, you're now the new Mighty Morphin Rangers, or they do something kind of fun, maybe they do something like, hey, we're done with this, but like, here are these like Zeo crystals, like, you can like, you know, tap into and start to like show the greater audience that, like, you know, there's past season 3 of Power Rangers.
Right,
there's,
yeah.
Like,
you just, I know Netflix doesn't think there is, but trust us.
So, like, I feel like you can bring in Mighty Morphin while introducing, like, a new set of Rangers. It would be difficult, like, I am aware.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
But, like, I think it's an easier pill to swallow as an origin story if you're like, making an origin story of, like, a new team.
New team, yeah.
But you're having this team that everyone already knows kind of, like, usher them in.
Yeah. You know? I feel like that works best for everybody, because then, like, I think the biggest problem the 2017 movie had was that it was so different from what you were expecting, just visually speaking.
Visually, is yeah, kind of jarring.
And like the cast was great, and they were super fun, and like, I'm glad that they have all gone on to like superstardom. Like, they have, everyone from there has like gone on to do like great stuff.
Yeah,
and I'm just really happy for them all. But like, when you see the Mastodon for the first time, you're like, what is this thing?
Yeah, you're trying to figure out like what dinosaur.
Why does it have six legs?
There's so many legs. What's happening? But if you just say like, hey, you're new Power Rangers, and like, it can be anything, right? Like, it can be like Tommy putting together a new team because like monsters are back and they haven't been, or whatever, or like people are hunting down old Rangers and they need to make a new team to do that. Like, if you just give like a new team like their origin story, it'll be way better than like, all right, kids, now you don't know each other because you're all from different places, and you're Billy, and you're smart, and you're Zach, and you're fun, and this is Trini, and I guess she's a loner in this one now, which I think works in a weird way. And then like, we're like, okay, we know. Because like you said with the Spider-Man thing, like, gets bitten by spider, great power, great responsibility, Uncle Ben dies. We know that. Everyone on the planet knows that by now.
We don't ever need to hear it again.
Yeah, so like, we can just jump past it. If they did do like a straight-up reboot with like them playing the old ones, I would like them to just like start with them already being Rangers.
Yeah, like, yeah, definitely.
We don't need to see them get the power. Like, it's, and it also, the way they get the powers is really quick. Like, it happens in 1 minute in the show. Like, you know, yeah, we don't need to, you know,
we don't need to belabor that. Yeah,
yeah, like, exactly. And then you can just jump right into Green with Evil, because like, if you already have Power Rangers, now you can just do the thing you wanted to do the whole time anyway, but you don't have to waste all that time setting up that, like, how do we get the powers? Because you can't go right to Green with Evil unless they're already Power Rangers.
Yeah, and that also fixes another problem for, I guess, the mass market, which is just, like, everyone who says that they really want Mighty Morphin, they're really saying they want to see Tommy.
They want
again.
Tommy. They want the Green Ranger. Like,
they want that evil Green Ranger arc again.
Yeah, you know, for better or for worse, I think Power Rangers feels that it's, like, the Tommy Oliver show.
Yeah.
Pretty much always. So, like, then you can, just get straight to Green Ranger. It's there. We're done.
Yeah.
Giving everyone what they wanted, and you can like move forward.
The last idea was that they do an Into the Spider-Verse and they Shattered Grid it, but like not the same way Shattered, because what I found, I haven't read the comics yet, even though I've been threatening to for years now. I finally have a charger for my I have a Kindle that I have Comixology on, and I lost my charger a while ago, so but I have a new one, so I'm probably gonna jump into the comics relatively soon. But apparently, it's like, it's not so much different dimensions as it is like timeline and dimensions, because it takes the teams when they are at like their peak, basically.
Yeah, I mean, so do you want me to answer?
Oh yeah, you can tell.
Like,
yeah, you can tell. Josh and I are the only people here who don't know what happened to the comics.
Yeah.
Okay, so I guess mild spoilers. So yeah, it's kind of time and dimension, because you'll learn, I guess, past where we are now, there's going to be a couple seasons that are not mainline Rangers.
Right, right.
Right. So they are just by definition like a different dimension.
Right.
So Shattered Grid is basically the Morphin Grid going like, someone is messing with the Morphin Grid and this is bad. So to preserve everything, it shatters the timeline and dimensions and kind of puts it like on like a, it's going to sound straight, but like on kind of like a flat plane of existence.
Okay.
Where they can all kind of like time travel, but it's really like dimension hopping.
Right.
So, yes, it's both time and dimension kind of shattering.
Okay. Because I was saying, I was like, it doesn't make sense to do it that way in like if you're going off of the show's continuity, because they do all, with some exceptions, because I know like RPM is in a different universe because of the setup of it. It has to be.
Yeah.
And I think someone has said that like Dino Charge, like at the end, it kind of like is like, this might also be a different dimension, don't worry about it. Like, but everything else, like the Ranger teams from before show up, you know, fairly frequently to like, come back and hang out. And so like, they're all clearly on in the same dimension, even though that is frustrating to think about because it seems like nobody remembers Power Rangers from the season before in terms of, like, the world.
Yeah.
Like, whenever there's a new monster, it was, like, a monster and not just, like, oh, yeah, like, what happened in Angel Grove every day for 5 years. Like,
yeah. Or when they get their powers, I'm like, what's a Power Ranger? I'm like, how did you miss, like, what Estrada did to the planet?
The only person who has mentioned it is Dustin, who is like, I knew Power Rangers were real, but even he said it like it was, like, the Easter Bunny.
Like a legend. Yeah.
Yeah,
you know?
And it's like they're a Bigfoot.
And it's like, you could probably Google, like, Power Rangers and see the photo of when the mayor gave them the key to the city.
Yeah, which, you know, to kind of backtrack real quick to the Hasbro era stuff with Beast Morphers, that was the thing that I noticed that I liked the most in Beast Morphers is, like, from episode one, they mention, like, Rita Repulsa.
That's
like
dope.
It's they don't forget, like, oh, Rangers and monsters have always been here. Like, it's, like, baked in. Like, yeah. People know.
Nice.
Which is nice.
I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, but if they did a Shattered Grid thing, mostly I just want to see, like, something's attacking Power Rangers and they go to, like, attack Jason, who they need to give him a beard. I've seen pictures of him in Beast Morphers without a beard. Don't do that. He's an old guy now. Let him have his cool beard. Like, but I just want to see him, like old bastard Jason just, like, lariat a putty in half, you know?
Yeah.
Like, just, I think that would be just very cool to watch.
I think it would be, you know, again, not to bring it to the comics, but there's the Soul of the Dragon graphic novel,
yeah,
about basically the last time Tommy gets to morph, and playing devil's advocate after just saying, like, it's always about Tommy, but this graphic novel is awesome.
Tommy's
like,
still pretty cool a lot of the time, though.
Tommy is, like, you know, as much as I give him crap, he's in my top five Rangers. Like, I do love Tommy, but this, you know, seeing this kind of, like, you know, for lack of a better phrase, like, old man Logan-esque Tommy Oliver, like, suit up again and be like, okay, this is, like, my last outing, was awesome. So if we could do that in the movies with, you know Jason and Kim and all them, like, that would be fantastic.
Yeah, that would be rad. I'm hopeful the people they seem to have gotten on board already seem, like, really into Power Rangers, at least, which is, like, all I really want from people making Power Rangers stuff is to, like, care about,
like,
it. Yeah
I just want the people that make it to like it. That's all.
Yeah, because it seems like Saban and Disney and, you know, Saban again for a while, they didn't like Power Rangers. They just knew it made them money. And so...
Yeah, you kind of get that feeling, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely.
So I'm hoping that it'll just be cool. All right, well, with that all out of the way, if you're new here, hey, everybody, welcome to the podcast. What we do is we pause the recording, we go watch an episode of Pirates, we come back and we talk about it. And you can follow along if you have the DVDs. No longer Netflix. By the time this airs, I bet it is after February. And Netflix will be not an option for you anymore. So, I mean, good luck. The DVDs are pretty cheap, at least. So, to get them individually. If you want to get the cool box sets, they are not. Yeah, except for Samurai, which, again, is like $70 for part one of Samurai for some reason. I don't know why Samurai is made out of gold, but I guess we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Surprising.
Yeah. From what I hear, yeah, that's a weird season. Unless they only made like 9 copies of the DVDs because they didn't like it very much.
It's listed for regular price on like Walmart and Best Buy and Target, but they're all out of stock.
Wow.
So.
Anyway, we're going to go watch Dino Thunder right now.
Dino Thunder power up.
And we're back, and we just watched Burning at Both Ends. This one moved. This one had a lot of fights, but it didn't seem like they were all empty fights, which is a thing that I appreciate about Power Rangers fighting. Hey, JakeandJosh.com. That's the website. You can go there. You can go listen to old episodes of the show up through Lightspeed Rescue. There's also a archive feed that has the first 10 seasons of the show and 2 classic feeds. Because this is a labyrinthian podcast, and if you want to catch them all, you got to have different versions of the show. You can email us at littleidiots.morphingrid@gmail.com. We're on Twitter @MorphinGrid. We're on Apple Pudding Podcasts. We're on Google Play and Stitcher and Podknife and Podbay and Podbay B and Podgotem.
Podgotem.
Podgotem. It's a trick. That one's a trick. It's a double. It's actually 2 tricks in 1. You don't even know that until you're too deep in the trick to get tricked. We're also on Patreon, patreon.com/heyjakeandjosh. For as little as a dollar a month, you can help support the show, and we really appreciate it. This is a Friday episode, but we have a guest on, so we're not doing anything else. Also, we did read an email on Monday to make up for that. So everyone, if you're jonesing, go back and listen to that again. Do y'all want to jump in?
Yeah.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We start off where we left last time with Tommy stuck in his dino suit, which means that Jason David Frank moved back to L.A. for a little while.
Yep.
And he didn't want to keep... Do you know the like why this is, David? Because we just know that he did.
From what I understand, it was just that he just wanted in his contract some more time to like be with family.
Okay, sure.
So he was just kind of like, well, I'm leaving. I'll just do like the ADR stuff from like LA and just send it in.
Yeah.
So that's why he's just kind of like awkwardly like, I'm in a suit.
It's crazy. Because I feel like his audio quality is all over the place. Like, there's some episodes I think he may have recorded from his car, and then there's, lines, and then there's some lines where it's like he's in a sound booth. He sounds fine. Yeah,
the end of the last episode where he's like, I'm trying to power down, and he couldn't. I was like, he recorded this, like, in his bathtub, it sounds like. It is. Yeah. And then
on his phone or something.
Yeah, and then this one, it's like, oh, it seems better. And then sometimes it's like, well, don't get ahead of yourself. So they see on the monitor that Trent is in his Megazord causing a ruckus, so they morph and they go to fight him. And again, anytime Power Rangers starts off with a Zord fight, you know things are going to get weird at some point. And so I was expecting that, but then it didn't. This episode is mostly a normal episode of Power Rangers. They just started with the Zord fight.
Yeah, it's just, it picks up from the last one where he like helped them kill a monster, and now he's just kicking buildings over again for no reason.
Yeah, because he was nice because of the thing, and so that wore off, and so he's like, well, I'm already in my Megazord. Might as well.
Might as well just take out a couple credit card offices.
Yeah.
Just kind of seems like blindly mad at just, I'm not really sure what he's going for.
He's just mad. Just like...
That's what we started to talk about last time, and it also rears its head in this episode, is what is he fighting for?
Yeah, he's just upset.
He's just mad. This is actually, the very start of this one is, because of the last episode, is the only one that I can understand, like, the direct reaction, like, he just got turned nice for a little while because of the weird opposite meteor, and he hates that. And so now that he's not, he's just extra mad about that. But other than that, that's the only part of the episode that kind of makes sense. The rest of it, it's like, what's the angle? Like, what's going on?
Like, what are you going for?
Yeah. So the Rangers ride up on their Raptors. They're not in bike mode. They're in full-on Raptor mode. Like, they're on horses, and I wish this was the only way they traveled around. The motorcycles are fine. They're pretty cool. They are not Raptors that they can ride around on. They get in their Zords. And this is the first time we have seen Trent draw something other than arrows or little X's on them. Like, he draws chains and then shoots that out of his Megazord to tie them up with it. And I was like, hell yes.
Yeah,
this is a weird power that I want to get behind.
That he can draw things in the cockpit and then just, like, fire them out through the Megazord.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it also kind of begs the question, like, if you can just, like, trap Zords, like, why not just start with that from, like, the beginning?
Yeah, why not draw new Zords for yourself?
Yeah, like, I feel like he could be doing more.
Yeah, because they call some side Zords, they call the Pachyzord and the Demetrazord, I think it is. Is that the... Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
the
with big, the buzzsaw.
Buzzsaw one? Mm-hmm. And then he puts them in, he's like, he draws like a little orb and shoots it at him to capture them.
Yeah, he's
but
like,
it's not just like a little cage.
He calls it a containment field.
It's a barrel.
And he just like sticks them in fermenting barrels. He's like,
there
you
like go. Fish barrels, like they're in the Wild West.
It's going to turn them into moonshine.
I guess. So weird. I think we cut back to the, I think they're like, oh, shucks, they got caught. And then, so then we just like go back to the lab. And this is the first time we've seen the Power Rangers like in their suits with their helmets off. This set of Power Rangers, and they look good. Power Rangers with their helmets off always look good, but this is like a particularly like these kids look like Power Rangers even when their helmets are off, and that's pretty good.
Yeah. They definitely figured out the turtleneck situation
for sure, and that is that don't do it when the helmet's off. So they start to like talk about Trent. I think Kira like tries to defend him, and then Connor and Ethan are like, we still would love to beat his ass, actually.
Yeah, they're Connor and Ethan just want to fight him. But I did like in that conversation though that Tommy was just like, "Well, hold on. Like, if my friends did that to me, like I wouldn't be here right now."
Yeah.
Because I'm like the poster child for Rangers that have gone to the wrong side, you know.
And over the last like 4 or 5 ever since, you know, there's been the evil White Ranger. They keep bringing up like, oh, bad Power Rangers. Like, I think Ethan at least has brought it up like twice. Like, bad Power Rangers? How, like, should we have known? And it's like, yes, you watched a video about it in the 500th episode where like the first thing that happens is like, here's Power Rangers. The second thing is, here's me. And then I turned evil because of Rita. And so like, you know that it is like a thing that happens in Power Rangers.
It also showed the Psycho Rangers.
Yeah. And like the Thunder Rangers from last season who started out bad. It's like, you should just be prepared for, like, bad Power Rangers.
Skipped but also, over I do all the, really... like, miscolored putty Rangers, but I think that's probably fine.
And the weird, like, ski mask ones that couldn't move because their suits were so cheap that they would rip if they did anything.
Right. And those terrifying Halloween children.
Halloween children ones were pretty bad. Yeah, there were some rough ones early on. but yeah, I also really like Tommy being like, well, let's talk about this. Is he still like a guy, you know? They're like, so what do we do? And Tommy's like, just go back to class, I guess, and be normal, lay low, and we'll try to figure out what to do. We cut to Mezogog and Zeltrax. David, how do you feel about Mezogog and Zeltrax? And Elsa, I guess, as the bad guy. How do you feel about all the bad guys?
The bad guy trio. So I actually love Mezogog.
Same. He rules.
He's just so weird, but like kind of conniving and like manipulative. Takes no responsibility for any failures.
No. He's also effectively creepy. Like his speech pattern and his inability to comprehend any personal space.
Yeah.
is really uncomfortable.
Yeah. He's, I like him a lot. Zeltrex, I'm fine with. Like, he looks cool. Like he's fine. Okay. And then Elsa, I also really like. She's definitely committed to the whole like, I'm a villain and I'm gonna like do my thing. I'm fairly cutthroat at times.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, talks back to Mezogog, which I feel like is always like a real dangerous, like, you know. Maybe you shouldn't be doing this.
She shoots him a look in this episode that made me think, like, she's going to try to overthrow this dude.
Yeah.
Like, she's ready, I think.
Yeah, she's, like, very, like, determined. And, like, it's clear that she's you know, very strong. And
yeah. Last episode, her and Zeltrax both got, like, brain blasted so hard they fainted. And she's still in this episode like, well, hold on, let me tell you why it was actually your fault a little bit, Mezogog. And then he's like, what'd you say? And she's like, you said that it was going to be hard. So, like,
yeah.
I also think that her acting is much more even in this episode. Because over the past couple episodes, when she's Elsa, she was all over the place. It felt like the directors were giving her, like, very different directions between episodes. Yeah. But she seemed much better in this one. And I do still love her as Principal Randall.
Yeah, I really like the duplicitous nature of, like, she's the bad guy, but she's, like, posing as their principal, or maybe is really their principal. I don't know exactly there is yet, but I do like that, like, she has to play nice with them.
And, not, like, too nice.
But, like, also wants to kill them when she has her weird swimming cap on.
Yeah. So they're talking about how Trent is not with or against them. Like, he is like this third party that Mezogog doesn't have any control over, and he hates that. And Zeltrax is like, if only we could force him to work with us. And Mezogog's like, you make someone do something that's out of their nature. But what if you change their nature? And I'm like, that seems like what you just said, but a different way. But okay, go on. And he doesn't go on, because we then cut to Connor playing with a little soccer ball on his way to school. He went and got changed before class, and he's got his little Nerf soccer ball. And then Trent can also go invisible, and he steps out of
this is
nowhere.
So, I don't mean to keep cutting you off.
No, it's okay. That's what the show is.
But, like, I don't know if we've seen him with I think we were arguing, is it super speed or invisibility that he has, or both, at one point?
I feel like we talked about it. Yeah, we a couple episodes ago.
As Trent now, he is evil. So I wonder if the invisibility is like the more the evil takes over, the like more powers you get.
Maybe.
So like he just got to the evil level where he unlocked the invisibility power.
Right.
It's weird though, because that's Tommy's power that he only used the one time. So like why
duplicate it?
Yeah, if you're only gonna give it, if he's only gonna use it once, why give it to him? And then why do it again if you already gave it to someone?
Oh, he's been doing super speed, which was Connor's, so.
But he was morphed, so I just figured like he's faster when he's morphed, true. You know? So like I don't know. But like it's just weird that they're like everyone gets their own unique power. Except the Black and the White Rangers, they can share. That's fine. I also thought maybe he's like walking through the wall, but we will see him be invisible again, and he's definitely just invisible in the place later, so it's kind of weird. But now he is like you said, he is straight up like the White Ranger is Trent now, even when he's unmorphed, because he's like, hey, Red Ranger, you shouldn't walk to school all by yourself. It's just like Little Red Riding Hood and the wolf. And he's like, no, we're going to fight now. And Connor's like, I don't want to. He's like, yeah, you do. He's like, yeah, you're right. I kind of do.
You forced my hand. I guess I will.
So they morph. Also, I think this is the first time we've seen Trent morph. We don't see that. He doesn't get like a morph sequence. He just like, but he has a morpher now. Every other time he just like has grabbed his head and then turned into the White Ranger.
Did, when Tommy was evil, did he have a morph sequence, or are morph sequences reserved for good guys?
I don't know.
I can't remember.
I don't think he had a morph sequence.
I don't think we ever saw him turn into the green. Like, they would, like, so they would be, Tommy would be at school still evil, and then, like, the next time they saw him, he would be the Green Ranger somewhere. Right. Like, I don't think we ever saw him.
Yeah, so I think morph. That's going to be the, when they finally win Trent over and he joins the team, like, there will be the big White Ranger morph sequence that we'll get. Because right now, it's just he's Trent, there's a Flash, and he's the White Ranger.
Yeah. Also, I love these like office parks they fight in the Sentai footage. Because they look like Portal. They look like they're inside Aperture Labs to me. But they're fighting, and they're pretty evenly matched. And then towards the end, they like draw on each other and have like a high noon shootout, and they both shoot each other. And then Connor falls down, and you're like, oh no, Trent got him. But then he was also shot, and then Trent falls down, and I was like, that's pretty good. Yeah. I could stand to see a little bit more of that.
Yeah, I like the evenly matchedness, I guess, of that fight. You never really see that so much in Rangers. It's usually like someone's very clearly winning, and then they, you know, the other team like runs away.
That was even happening with Trent three episodes ago.
Yeah,
he was very clearly stronger than the three of them together.
Yeah, and then now that he's also Trent, it's like sort of they're melding, like his power's kind of evening out to regular Power Ranger level. He's still like more powerful, but it's not like preposterous anymore, which is pretty nice. So then Zeltrax and a gross bug thing who gets a name later, and I don't remember it, but I just called him Centipeter.
Oh, I cannot remember what they said.
It's Insectolite. Because he's an insect and a satellite.
Oh.
Okay. He's just a big earwig.
He is. He's gross. He's really gross. Also, he's like kind of weird. Like this monster is just like kind of weird to me. And like what he does and what his powers are and aren't, it turns out.
Oh, you mean how he doesn't do anything, I don't think?
Well, he's not really.
He's not particularly menacing. He's almost like borders on comic relief, I feel like, in this episode, which is very strange for like the monster of the week.
This season, like you watched the last two episodes, right? But you haven't watched like before that in like a while.
Mm-hmm.
All the monsters of the week this year are nothing. They are either jokes or they like four or five episodes ago, I think it's the first or second part of the I think it's the first part of the White Thunder. There's like a dandelion lion guy, and he literally shows up as like, I'm looking for the White Ranger, and then the White Ranger kills him, and then like, that's it. That's all he does. And like most of the monsters are like, they show up and they're nothing, and then they die. This is the first one that like does stuff throughout the whole episode, I feel like, and even that is like leaps above what they've been doing for
monsters
this season.
But none of it, like, actually works.
No, so what he does, so him and Zeltrak show up, and he's like, we're going to, or he's like, I'm going to infect them. And he's like, do you want me to do both? And Zeltrak is like, no, just the white one, which is dumb.
Just you could have had
two rangers.
Yeah, I thought the same thing. I was like, your whole point is like, get rid of these. Why not? Like, the leader's right there.
Yeah, like, come on. So he's like, all right, fine. So he shoots the white ranger with something. And then Connor's like waking up at this point, and then they leave, and Connor's like, Trent, what happened? Are you okay? He's like, I'm better than okay, because they both demorph. He's like, I'm normal. I'm back to me again. And Connor, bless his heart, is like, I accept this immediately. Like, I believe this, and I will ask no further questions.
Yeah, which is weird when you consider the previous episode, maybe two episodes ago, like, Kira's like, Trent really changed, and Connor's like, yeah, but I still want to beat him up. Like, yeah. I just really want to fight him.
There was, in the beginning of the last, because that was two episodes ago when it started, and they carried it over to the beginning of the last episode where they, like, run into Trent in the woods, and he's like, what's up, Trent? What you doing? Yeah. Long time no see, bud. And he's clearly like, I'm going to fight you right now with my hands. Like, but now he's just like, oh, you're back to normal. Cool, cool, cool. So then we cut to the school where Kira and Ethan are coming in, and Principal Randall comes up, and this is Principal Randall, like, looking at them and saying, like, I'm the bad guy, and I would love to tell you that I'm the bad guy, and I know that you're the Power Rangers, but I'm going to be coy about it. And she's like, I got an email from your science teacher. And they're like, okay. And she's like, he's too sick to come in, and if he's lying, he's fired. And why would you tell these two specifically for any reason other than, I know you're the Power Rangers, I know Tommy's Tommy Oliver, the Power Ranger, watch yourselves. Like, that's the only reason you would do this.
Akira tries to play it off because she's like, yeah, last time we saw him, he was, like, not looking too great.
Pretty rough, yeah.
But it's like, we hang out with him all the time. He comes to our cyber cafe with us. And
to our,
like,
teen hangout. He just hangs out. He hasn't done that in a while, and that's good.
I think he really only did it in that one episode. But it is a fun joke to make.
Yeah, it was enough times for, I think Tommy realized, like, oh, I'm 26. I can't be hanging out with a bunch of teenagers outside of a mentor capacity. So they're like, okay. And then she just walks away. And then Connor's like around a corner, like, come here, come here. And they're like, what? And so they go over and they go behind, and it's sort of like a outdoor auditorium. There's like bleacher seats or but it's like covered. And Trent's there, and in shadows, Trent looks rough. But I guess it's just the shadow and, like, the way it was filmed. Because, like, he turns around and he's fine. And I was like, oh, yeah, okay, never mind. He's okay.
They've definitely calmed down the makeup on him. If they even still are trying to make him look like...
I don't think they are anymore.
He's tired.
Yeah, that like, it was, like, the third White Thunder episode. Like, he straight up looked like he was, like, actively relapsing from, like, a lot of heroin or something. And it was like, because Connor's like, oh, he just got away. And I was like, he still looks like he's, even if you don't know he's the White Ranger, like, he still looks like he's doing bad. You should go check on him.
Like, clearly needs help.
Yeah. So he's there, and he's like, hey, I'm sorry. And they're like, what happened? And Connor's like, oh, a monster attacked us and it backfired and it made Trent fine. And he's like, yeah, I'm real sorry. You know, I want to apologize. What can I do to make it up to you? And they're like, you can give us our monsters back. He's like, yeah. Meet me in the abandoned warehouse district later. That should have been a big red flag.
Nothing good ever happens in the abandoned warehouse district.
And he's like, and I also have a peace offering too. And they're like, oh, this is great. We'll do this later. So we cut to Mezagog and the White Ranger basically just being like, they were pranked. I'm still evil. Got him, got him, got him. Like, it's really quick to blow the reveal, right?
I mean... It's pretty early on.
Yeah.
But you know, as you said in the beginning, this episode kind of it moves. It's very fast.
Yeah. It's got a lot of ground to cover, and mostly it's just got a lot of wet stunts that it's got to do. we got to get to the cool stunt show later. So we cut to the warehouse. Trent's waiting for them. He looks a little menacing, but we know that he's like not actually evil, because he says that when him and Mezagog are talking, he's like, we're not working together. It's mutually beneficial. You scratch my back, I scratch yours.
Right. So the point of sending the monster down to zap him was to turn him, to change his nature so that he would work with Mezagog.
Uh-huh.
But instead, he's still the same.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that part confused me, because, like, obviously at this point we're kind of putting together, like, okay, there's some sort of trap here, but it's like, But, like, why set the trap if, like, the whole idea was to just change, like, just change it. Like, Mezuka, then you don't have to make a deal. Like, just go through with your plan.
Right. And also, how does Trent know about, because he knows immediately that, like, this is supposed to do something when he pretends to be good again. Unless he just did this to, like, get Connor, and it worked out for him, like, that was also Mezuka's plan. It's really weird.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know what's going on. I still don't know what the White Ranger's motivations are. And this episode is not going to answer that question for me.
I mean, it gets close to it, but it doesn't really offer, like, an answer, but it does give him, like, a goal, sort of.
But there's not even, like, a soon I'll have enough power to fulfill my destiny or to, like, my plan. There's none of that. There's just, like, now I have more stuff.
Yeah, I don't know. The White Rangers, I feel like they could have used, like, one more episode before the White Ranger showed up explaining about, like, how there's also a white gem out there, but that one's not good, and it's, like, powerful and bad and for reasons. Because, like, we don't get any reason for why there's one gem that's evil so far.
Yeah. Also, I do want to point out that if Tommy had in his contract that he was just going to be away doing ADR from his house for a while, a good way to make him the White Ranger
yep.
would be to just make it so you don't see him unmorph while he's evil.
Yep.
Yeah.
A lot of missed opportunities not making him the White Ranger. Mm-hmm. So he's at the warehouse. He's waiting there. They drive in on their motorcycles and they're like, hey, we're back. And he's like, yeah. And then Tommy's also there. Tommy was riding with Connor, and so he's like, cool. He's like, yeah, hope you don't mind. I tagged along. He's like, no, don't worry, I'm glad you're okay. I'm glad you're out of the amber. Sorry about that. That was also my bad, and I apologize. And they're like, cool, where are our swords? He's like, first I'm gonna do the peace offering thing that I said. And he pulls off this tarp off of this dope Black Ranger ATV.
Yep.
And he's like, yeah. And Tommy's like, this is rad. Ethan tries to get on. He's like, Ethan, this is clearly for me.
This is color coded. Like, Ethan,
this looks like my suit. Come on, Ethan. He's like, you got it. I got
the same diamond pattern and everything. Like, it is definitely Tommy's.
Who made this ATV, do you think?
It's Mezugog, right?
I mean, I guess, right?
I guess he would have. That's the only one that makes sense, but it's just also weird that he's just like, yeah, I just make, like, you know, Ranger vehicles too.
I understand that, like, because it's like a trap. This thing is absolutely like a trap, sort of, like, for like 1 second, but not really. And so, like, if Zeltrax made it and he was like, give this to the Black Ranger and, like, trick him, that'll really get him. And I painted it like his suit because I hate him so much and I know what he looks like, you know?
Yeah, the Black Ranger who may or may not even show up with them at the warehouse.
Yeah, so, like, if he didn't, then they were just going to have to, like, tow it home, I guess.
Like, wow, cool. That's really great. It doesn't match any of our clothes, so we can't drive it.
Tommy gets on the ATV and he's like, nice, this is a 12-stroke engine? And Trent's like, sure is. And Tommy's like, they don't make 12-stroke engines, Trent. And Trent's like, well, Mezuzog doesn't make monsters, it turns people nice. And they start fighting, and it's really good. But also, what if Trent just didn't know they didn't make... He's like, 12-stroke sounds right to me. I don't know. What if he just didn't know?
Yeah, there was... That struck me as weird because I was just like, there's no... You know, Tommy going from, like, oh, he didn't know a Carfax, so obviously he's evil.
He's gotta be.
Was just strange. And then how quickly Trent was just like, okay, yeah, you got me. I'm like, yeah, you didn't have to. Like,
I like the callback to Tommy knows about engines from Turbo, too.
From Turbo, yeah.
Yeah.
So Trent kicks him and the ATV, and the ATV just kind of takes off with Tommy on it. Tommy's like, what's it doing? And they drive out, and then I forget what he says, but he's like later suckers or something, and then he just, like, a diving morph and lands on his own White Ranger ATV and chases after Tommy, and then Centipede shows up with some Crusties and they start fighting.
Yeah, and I also wanted, the plan, I guess, was to give him a rigged ATV.
Yeah.
But, like, they're Power Rangers, so
yeah, it would...
at best, like, you know, he could just jump off. Like, there's nothing, right. Like...
He's not attached.
So, like, the plan's weird.
Yeah.
The goal was to, like, crash it and make him look stupid.
Like, I'm not really sure, like, what was supposed to be accomplished here.
Yeah. The plan was to make him crash into a car, and then now he's got to give them his insurance. Yeah. He's going to look like a Disney. His premiums are going to go through the roof.
He crashes into a car, you go flying over it, and then Trent would be like, great job, Johnny Knoxville. You look like an idiot.
He's like, oh no.
Welcome to perfect driving Tommy. Record.
So Tommy is like flying towards this car, and he's like, he takes out his brachio staff and then just like stabs it in the side, and that fixes it from being tampered with, I guess, because he skids and stops before he hits the car.
Yeah, cause he's like, I don't know how to stop this thing, and then he's able to stop it, and then he's like a pro at fighting and driving with it.
Why get on it if you don't know how to drive it in the first place, Tommy? That seems dangerous. But then Trent shows up with his own ATV, and they start doing boy, this is a Power Rangers stunt spectacular in this episode. There is a lot of motorcycle and ATV, like, stunt show ass stunts. The ground's wet, so it, like, looks cool. It's wild.
They have a good the stunt that I liked is where they like pop up on their back wheels and they have like a hand to hand fight, but still driving.
I don't know how that works.
They're driving in opposite directions at the same time.
Yeah, it's absolutely ludicrous.
It's like a shonen anime. When they get to each other, they're fighting. That stops the momentum of the cars. They're punching each other so hard or something.
Either like, that or like it was a super slowdown and every hit took place so fast.
Right, they were doing 40 hits a second. Yeah. We cut back to the warehouse and everyone is shooting lasers on their motorcycles, but then they all just like in turn crash all of their motorcycles. And it's a kind of nice fake out because I think it's Kira's the first one. And like, it's the same exact car that Tommy almost ran into, just now it's in the warehouse because they only rented the one. And it looks like she's also going to like skid stop or turn away from it. And she does. She just straight up hits the car and flies off of it and it blows up. And then like Ethan and Connor also get theirs blown up. And then they're like, all right, that's now we're very mad. And they go into super dino mode. And Centipede's like, super what? No one told him about super dino mode. David, how do you feel about super dino mode?
Yeah, it kind of looks weird. Like, I don't dislike it. You know, I think it's a good, like, you know, battleizer, so to speak.
Yeah.
And it's cool that, like, you know, they all get it. And it's not nearly as, like, awkward as some of the other battleizers we see.
There's no muscle butt on it. Yeah.
Yeah, so... I don't know, like I don't love it, but it's fine.
Okay.
Yeah, not my favorite. I think I'm the odd man out. Yeah, I've come around on it a little bit, but still, I'm not super sold on it.
Like it because it's an upgrade that they can like temporarily do rather than like a whole new thing that's always a win button. Like with a regular muscle butt suit, they just like instead of being like I hit a button on my morpher and now I have wings that are also a motorcycle. And I can fly on them. It's like my suit got better for a minute, and that's all. And I like it. It does look – they look goofy.
Yeah.
Especially – like when they're all together, I like it a lot. Like I talked about last episode. Like I think they look really good when they're all together. But like if you just look at like Connor, his spikes are real floppy. Like they just like flop around. Yeah. And so it's a little like goofy to look at.
I don't know if they fixed that a little bit or if I'm just so accustomed to it. But it's definitely like Mighty Morphin, American footage, Green Ranger shield.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah. So then there's more wet stunts. There's they fight Centipede more. We cut out. This is when we get the wheelie punch off, which is literally, in terms of the physics, makes no sense. Yeah. But I love it. It's so dumb. And then Tommy just, like, shoots, like, waves, this, like, weird purple wave thing at him from his brachio staff. It's, like, these, like, circle waves. It looks like Nejire from My Hero Academia's power. And I guess that
he dodged them, right? Trent, like, dodged them?
I don't remember. Oh, no. Maybe he did. Maybe it hit. All I know is that the next shot, it cuts from Tommy doing this to like Centipede about to like kill the Rangers or whatever. And then Tommy like runs his ATV over him or something. Like he shoots him or something.
Yeah, it's weird because he shoots the blast at Trent, and Trent does like a donut kind of like to dodge it, but it also shows it kind of moving toward him, so maybe it's implied that he hit him with it.
I don't know. It's unclear. And then we cut again to Tommy doing something else in the where, like getting to the warehouse, and then Centipede leaves, and then Trent shows up and is like, "Well, I broke your bikes," and then he leaves, and it's like, so I guess he was fine.
Is this also where he's like, "I got my ATV, which is all I wanted," or is that later?
I think that's what, Trent or Tommy?
Trent.
Yeah, I think this is when he's like, I tricked you, and that's what my like plan was.
He tricked them, but also, like, his reason for joining up with Mezagog was to get an ATV.
Yeah.
I mean, if he wasn't going to get anything out of it anyway, and, like, I'll give you an ATV if you work with me, like, yeah, I'll take that and then leave with it, sure. We come back to the lab, helmet's off again, so you know they shot it the same day. They shot the other one, which is economically makes more sense. So this is when we get like the title drop, because they're like, Trent's burned at both ends and he's going to get burned or whatever. He's like something about flames at both ends and he's going to get burned. And Haley's like, I have an idea of how to get him back. And they're like, how? And she's like, every trap needs bait. And I was like, you're skipped a step in telling them what the plan was. And then we smash cut from her saying that to Kira being like, Trent. And I was like, oh, you can't just use Kira as bait. That sucks. But then it's everybody is there. And I'm like, okay, they're all the bait. That I'm a little more cool with. But like, I know that she likes Trent and they have like a history kind of. But that just kind of sucks to do that. Yeah. So they're back in the warehouse district. And then Trent is there. And then he attacks them again, and they fight more. At some point, he calls them posers. Like, they're like, we want to make a deal too. And he's like, I don't make deal with posers. And it's like the third time someone's called someone a poser.
Yeah, Connor calls him a poser earlier in the episode. Yeah.
I actually have that in my notes, how many times they said poser throughout the episodes. And in that response, where he's like, I don't make deal with posers, Connor gets like real upset. He's just like, you take that back.
Take that back. You do make deals with posers, and you know it.
I'm not a poser, you're a poser. What a time capsule word poser is, huh?
Did that actually cross the threshold into the 2000s?
Are you saying it's more of a 90s word?
Yeah, because I'm saying I said poser in middle school, and 2000 was my freshman year of high school. So
I think it crossed into 2000s.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if it was. I don't think it was as popular as they think it was at the time, but I think it got there because like. That word also disappeared shortly after this. This might be the last instance someone says the word poser on television, as far as we know.
All the kids watching are like, oh, this feels like when our parents say it.
Yeah, right? So then they fight. The monster is back. Is this? I'm confused. I'm remembering something that happens later, and I don't know.
The connective tissue?
The connective tissue, yeah. Because, like, the monster's just back. Like, Trent leaves and the monster's back, and then they fight him with their weapons now, right?
Yeah, so, like, I think what the idea was, what the trap was actually to get Insectolite. Because there's, like, a part okay. where they're like, oh, if we get Insectolite, because Insectolite has some beam that, like, you know, blew up something, we might be able to use that to, like,
right.
get the Zords. So I think what they were like, all right, well, Mezagog wants Trent. So, and Trent wants us for some reason. So,
sure.
So they're like, okay, we'll be bait to have Trent come. And then when Trent shows up, Insectolite should show up, which was a lot of like kind of leaps of faith.
Yeah.
That apparently worked.
Yeah, they also didn't really explain any of that, because
I didn't
get that at all.
I do remember them saying, like, he has a beam, so aim it at the Zords, but I did not really know who they were talking about.
They make it sound like it's Trent, but, like, when we get further in the episode,
yeah, it's clearly
it kind of becomes clear, like, oh, you wanted Insectolite, so then, like, I kind of, like, reverse-engineered the plan, I'm like, oh, okay, I guess this is what they meant.
Yeah, I think that might happen now, because they say something about how his beam like broke through their motorcycle shield, so it can clearly break the barrels that the Zords are in. And I was like, I'll take your word for it, Haley, because you seem very smart, but I don't see how those are the same. But then so they attack him with their weapons, which I think is really, I love when they use their weapons. The weapons this season are so dope. Connor does this like stick the pole in the ground, spin on it like he's a toy, like he's like some sort of like gymnastic toy. Kira like spins around him with her terror grips, and Ethan just like stabs him with the shield and then throws him, and it's great. And then I think they kidnap him.
I think they kidnap him very easily.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
they just take him and leave.
Because we cut to Trent. It's nighttime. It's like sunset, and we cut to Trent talking to the Zord stuck in the barrels, and he's like, "You're never gonna get out of there." Ha ha ha.
Did Trent tell them there was a time limit on this?
I don't think so.
Because
as they're going there, and it's sunset, and Ethan's like, "We're not gonna make it in time."
And it's like a Western all of a sudden with them riding on their raptors, like, yeah, we have to go.
Yeah, I wondered the same thing too, because I was like, well, in time for what? Like, they don't need to be like fed their Zords. Everything should be fine.
They don't get their dinner on time. They get cranky, and we don't want that. So Tommy has him hogtied on the back of his ATV, and he drives up to the barrels. And he releases him. He's like, "All right, blast the things to take down the barrier." And he's like, "All right, fine." And he turns around and goes to do it, and Trent kills him.
Yep, one shot and just done.
And he's like, "That's not going to work, you idiot." And Tommy's like, "It's too late now." And we're like, "For what?
We didn't make it."
And then he blows up the barrels. He hits like a button, like a detonator button, and the barrels explode. And they're like, "Oh, they killed Packy and Dimetrazord." No. But wait. They're alive. They come running out of smoke. But wait, again, they're evil now.
They're evil. And Trent takes them as new arms.
Yeah, but Trent has new arms on his Megazord.
Yeah, which again begs the question, if Trent can just, at will, just capture Zords.
Right.
And then just be like, "Oh, they're mine now."
Only at sundown.
Like, why not take all of the other Zords? Like, why?
He mentions that later. Like, that's like a thing he says later, but like, what's the rules on it? Is it like a vampire? Like it has to go into the next night, or else it doesn't count, and I don't get to take them. Because later on, like, because they get into Zord fight, and it's a nighttime Zord fight, which we don't get a ton of.
So it's actually kind of cool.
It's pretty cool looking, yeah. And he's got the Packy Punch arm and the big saw blade arm, and they're not gonna do well against that. And so they're getting beaten up, and he's like, "Give me your Zords back. Give me all your Zords now. Or else I'm going to cut them off of you and take them myself." And I'm like, damn, Trent, that is raw. So this is the most a goal he wants to accomplish that we've gotten for the White Ranger so far. And that is that, like, he wants all the Zords to himself. Why?
But then what?
Won't have them. I'm doing a lot of supposing, but I think the plan is that he wants to be the number one only Power Ranger, right?
Okay. He wants to be it. He wants to be the only Power Ranger, and he also wants to be the only bad guy.
Yeah, he wants to be the strongest. He wants to be number one.
Okay.
I think.
I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense at this point, because there's no, like, other motivation. That's the only thing I can think of, because he's just, like, taking things, and it's like, I'm not sure what you're taking it for.
He just wants to
have it. But I guess maybe you just want to be powerful?
Yeah, and like this is like literally as close, because the rest of the time it's either been like he just is fighting them for no reason, or he helps them once because the meteor made him good for a second, or Trent is in the woods trying to run away so he doesn't turn into the White Ranger near his friends. Like, that's all we know.
At first he didn't even want to fight them. When they first encounter him, he's like, "I'm not here to fight you," and then they're like, "Well, we're gonna stop you," and he's like, "Well, then I'm gonna fight you." But like, yeah. So he goes from that, and then in this episode, he literally just jumps Connor on his way to school.
But in the first episode, when he's like, "I don't want to fight you," that is like literally 1 minute after Elsa's like, "He's only going to want to fight people. All the White Ranger wants is conflict and fighting." And he's like, "I don't want to fight." And Connor's like, "Well, I do." And he's like, "Fine, I'll fight." And then I guess that activated him or something.
Just had to ramp up, I guess.
So he's about to saw blade the Power Ranger. He's about to chop shop up this Megazord when Centipede's back. And he, like, shoots him a little bit, and it stops him. And so Trent turns around and blows him up.
Yep. Again, one shot and down. You know, I found it interesting, because when they do that fight, and it's like, okay, well, the Rangers are down, and then Sectolite shows up to fight Trent. Trent starts to take out Insectolite, but they start playing, like, the Dino Thunder theme, as if it's like, the heroes are winning. I'm like, there's just literally two bad guys fighting, and like the one that's winning is like hell-bent on killing everyone.
Yeah.
It just feels like a weird time to play right. the theme.
But he's a Power Ranger, so...
He's a Power Ranger.
So when he does his finisher, then, like, you get the Power Ranger theme. It's automatic. They can't stop it. So he blows up him for real. He's dead. And then... I guess the Power Rangers ran away while this was happening, because we go to commercial, we come back, and they're just in the lab sitting on Tommy's ATV, sad.
Yeah. Like,
Kira has her head down on, like, the front of it, just like, oh, what are we going to do? Ethan and Connor just look like they just got their asses kicked, and they, like, can't focus on anything, so they're just staring off into the distance. And they're like, oh, that guy never gives up. And then Haley's like, well, it's a good thing I never give up. And, like, weird non sequitur, but okay, Haley, come on in. What's going on? And she's like, I fixed your bikes and I reprogrammed ATV, so at least we got that. And they're like, yeah, I guess. So,
like, can we jump back for a minute? Because yeah. I want to know. Trent is about to cut the other Zord arms off of the Megazord and take them. And Mezagog stops him and is like, how dare you turn your back on me? How is him taking things from the regular Power Rangers, him turning his back on Mezagog? He's fighting the Power Rangers, which was the plan.
I think he means physically.
Like, I don't know. I mean,
why stop him from taking them out?
I think that the episode has, like, a real, like, I guess the biggest problem with the episode is, like, the... consistency of plans and motivation, where you're just like, everyone is very confused at what they want. And I kind of took it as, like, I guess Mezagog was like, you know, he was supposed to get the, you know, stop the Rangers, but didn't.
Oh, that could be it.
And so he's like, oh, so you're kind of like, you know, maybe that's what he means by turning his, you know, back on him. But at the same time, in fairness, he's, like, in the middle of a fight. So, like,
with
they are...
enemies!
Yeah. So, like, it's very weird.
I'm gonna give Mezagog a little credit and assume that he knows that if the White Ranger takes the rest of the Power Rangers out, then if Mezagog hasn't been able to beat the Power Rangers by themselves, like, by himself at this point... then he's not going to be able to beat the White Ranger, who is clearly more powerful than the rest of the Power Rangers.
Right.
So maybe he's like, I need to keep them in play so they can maybe weaken him so that I can beat them, maybe. But again, none of this is, like, explained or talked about. And the worst part is that, like, holistically, like, the episode does kind of track. Like, everything gets to where it should be if the plan makes sense, but you never know what the plan is or why it's happening.
Right. It almost feels like they're, like, they had more scenes, and when they cut it down to fit in, like, the 24 minutes or whatever, they chopped some really important, like, you know, this is the through line,
but it didn't make it
to the final cut.
We don't need that part. We're just toss that to the side. As long as they fight, that's all the kids are here for.
Yeah, it's like, it's minute 17. Get them back in the Megazords. Like,
there's no way three full-grown adults are going to be talking about this in 2021.
Never.
That's ridiculous.
Never
happen.
Absolutely not.
They're not even going to be able to watch it, because we don't put anything out on VHS right now. We're not going to put a season of Power Rangers on DVD. Who would pay for that? So we cut back to... before we leave, Tommy's like, real quick, though. If Mezagog and Trent do team up, it's going to be really bad for us. And I was like, Tommy, what makes you think that's going to happen at this point? But also, you're right. Like, so fair. So we cut back to the island, and Elsa and Zeldrax are getting, like, the dressing down from Mezagog, but you failed again. How could you let the White Ranger get out? Blah, blah, blah. We've heard this, like, a dozen times now. And Elsa's like, all right, to be fair, you're the one who said that the White Gem was super powerful and, like, way more than anything anyone's ever handled before. So, like, you knew it was going to be hard, right? And he's like, get out of my room. Because she's right. And he's like, you got me.
She tends to always be right in those scenarios. Where she's you know it's, like, this is going to be hard.
And this is when, like, as she's turning around, she's looking at him like, I'm going to cut you. Like,
I would like to see her take the Mezagog power and become, like, a Dino Elsa. Like, I think I would like to see that. I don't think it'll happen, but I would like to see it. So they leave because he's like, get out of here. I need to think about like what we're going to do next. I need to think of a plan. So they leave. And as soon as they leave, he starts like walking around, but he starts glowing. And I'm like, oh, is he going to transform? Like, what's happening? And he turns. There's like one flash of like a human. And then he goes back to Mezogog. He's like glowing red. And he just like does a weird kind of Beetleborg shapeshift into Anton Mercer. Who could have seen this coming?
We did.
But yeah, it's Anton Mercer.
And he says like, keep control of him before he takes control of you or something.
Yeah, so like it feels like Mezogog and Anton are like kind of a White Ranger Trent situation at this point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a question though. Let's get to the end and then I'll ask.
Okay. So he like smirks and like adjusts his tie and walks away, and we like linger on like the background for like, and I was like, are we gonna do another scene? I could have sworn we were getting close to the end, but
it's really weird because the door's like shut behind him, and then it like zooms way in on like where the doors connect, and I'm like, this is a weird shot to end on.
And then there's like that little predator wiggle, and then Trent becomes uninvisible and is like, ha ha ha, and then walks away, and then the episode ends.
Okay, so here's my question.
Yes.
Did Mezogog Mercer know Trent was there? And when he said, take control of him before he takes control of you, was he talking to himself or was he talking to Trent / the White Ranger?
I think he's talking to himself.
Okay.
I took it as himself.
Okay. Because I feel like if he would have known the White Ranger was there, he would have been like, come on out, right? But he didn't. He just walked away from there. So I think he didn't know.
So now they both know who each other are.
Yes. Because it was the last episode, the episode before, where he found out that
Trent captured Trent and he was the White Ranger. Yeah.
So that's pretty neat.
So that is some development, finally.
It came at the end of an episode that was like kind of up and down as far as what we're supposed to think is happening is happening. But like, I'm excited about the end of that. David, you are our guest. What's the best?
The best for me is all of the one-liners. In this episode, we don't make deals with posers, you take that back. Or when Connor's like, let's make him pay, and Trent's like, you can't afford it. Like,
that
all
was
of
also
those
pretty good.
That was a good one.
One-liners, that's the best.
I'm going to say the best is it's also dialogue. I don't think this ever happens. The best is when Tommy's like, cool 12-stroke engine. And he's like, yeah, it is. And he's like, they don't make 12-stroke engines. Like, well, they don't make monsters that turn people good. Like, that was great. I love that. Josh, what about you?
I'm going to give it to Elsa, believe it or not, for that little like,
okay.
Hey, it was your plan and you said it wouldn't work and it didn't work. And then she looked at him. That's like, I could just... Oh boy,
I've
keep
got
pushing
a whole
me, but
samurai sword.
Yeah, she's like, I'm gonna take you down.
David, what is the worst?
The worst, you know, I guess it's what we've been saying the whole time, which is like what do you want? You know, what is the through line? Trying to piece it together, that's probably the worst of it.
Yeah, I think also that because like it is if you're not thinking about it, if you're not trying to like lay it out and understand what anyone's plan in this episode is, it makes sense, right? Like the things that happen in order make sense that they happen in that order. You just don't know why they're happening at all.
Right.
And like that is frustrating when you have to think about it for like a podcast that you review Power Ranger episodes on.
And it's just like, Mezogog, if you're mad because the White Ranger hasn't killed the Power Rangers yet, maybe don't attack him while he's in the process of actually killing them.
Yeah, so...
I think I might go a different direction just because we kind of have like an extra point to play around with this episode.
Yeah.
I'm going to worst Insectolite. For just being like a dodo of a monster. What a big dummy he is.
His first thing that he does doesn't work.
It's an in-universe worst because he has no abilities at all.
The first thing he does doesn't work. The second thing he does is like shoot them with a little laser that I guess knocks out some sort of shield that they might have. And then when they plan, he gets kidnapped. They kidnap
him.
Yeah, that was so, like, cause it's like, they just take him. Just there's take no, him. Like, restraints. There's no, like, here's this crazy, like, we're gonna stick you in, like, something attached to the morphing grid. They're just like, all right, grab him by the arms.
Yeah, he's like on the back of Tommy's bike.
Yeah, he might as well have his arms around Tommy's waist. Like, he's just like,
and you just wonder, like, why don't you just teleport? Like, you've teleported in and out this whole episode. Yeah,
and they're like, shoot those zords with your ray. And he's like, I don't wanna. And Tommy's like, you better do it. And he's like, yeah, fine. And then Trent just kills him. He's pathetic.
Oh. Well, I forgot where I was. David, who's the MVP?
MVP? I'll probably either give it to Elsa or Trent. I mean, as much as I don't know what Trent's trying to do, like, he's the one that takes out the monster. Yep. He wins most of the fights against the Rangers. Like, you know, he's infiltrated, you know, back into, you know, Mezogog's, like, base or whatever without Mezogog knowing and sees the reveal. Like, Trent's arguably the only one that, like, was successful this episode.
Yeah.
And then Elsa's just, I don't know, I just like Elsa.
I think I'm also going to give it to Trent. I want to give it to, what's the actor's name? Jeff Perrazzo? Is that it?
Oh, for Trent? Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's how you pronounce it.
I kind of want to give it to him because he was really good in this episode. Like, he has to go from being like Trent, but just the White Ranger in Trent form and us understanding that that's what's happening, to faking being good enough to trick at least the Power Rangers, but also us a little bit, to the turn when like he's like, oh, you got me, was really good. Also his like voice acting in the suit is really good. Like, he's extremely good at that. So I'm going to give it to him.
I'm going to give my MVP to Trent too, but I think I might want to amend my best.
Okay, what's your best then?
Because I was thinking about it, and I'm going to best the fight between Connor and Trent, where they kind of end in the draw.
Yeah.
I'm going to give it to that.
That was very good. All right, so that's it. Now we got to rank it, which is a thing that I think we have forgotten to do every other time that you have guessed it, David. So this you might not know this.
I think we forget to do it any time there's a guest.
Yeah, I think last time Claire had to be like, you have to rank the episode. I'm like, oh, right, yes, we gotta do that. I think this one goes relatively high. I don't think it's like a top. It's no Leader of the Whack, which is our current number one, because that was fun episode. That episode ruled so much.
I'm looking around probably the White Thunder three-parter.
Yeah, around Golden four or five.
Area, yeah.
I think I like it better than, I don't know which side of White Thunder to put it on. I don't like it better than Diva in Distress. I think that was a more fun episode. But I don't know if I like it better than the three-parter or... I know I like it. I think I like it better than Golden Boy.
What happened in Golden Boy?
That's when Zeltrax made a boy. He made a son. And then Tommy killed that son in front of him. And then it was like, why are you so mad at me, Zeltrax? And then left.
To be fair, Zeltrax keeps saying they have a beef, but does not specifically mention that he killed his son. So
that was just like a new thing that they can have beef over, because he was mad at him for no reason that we could tell beforehand. So,
and still now, because he never talks about Golden Boy.
No, well, he's only his son for an episode, so he didn't really attach to him, I guess. I kind of think above the White Thunder three-parter. What about you?
I don't know. The White Thunder three-parter ended, where that ended is where my frustration of what's happening started to kind of happen.
Uh-huh.
And then this is maybe like a peak of it. So I don't know if I can put it above White
Thunder. We could put it below it.
Yeah, I'd say put it below it.
Okay, so coming in at number five, Burning at Both Ends. David, thank you very much for coming on. This is a bunch of fun.
Yeah, no problem. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Is there... So I know you have a comic coming out soon. Not soon, but this year at some point. I don't actually know when. Yeah. If you want to talk about that, you want to plug that?
Yeah, sure. So I don't know when either. I think, if I remember correctly, it's sometime this fall.
Okay.
I have a graphic novel called Needle and Thread coming out from Matt Cave Studios. So that should be in comic shops and stores and whatnot. But yeah, it's an all ages graphic novel, part of a new line of graphic novels from Mad Case Studios called Mavericks, where, like I said, all the graphic novels are all ages.
Nice.
And yeah, so Needle and Thread's just a story about two kind of like unlikely friends coming together with like kind of a common interest to show the world like who they are, and they do it through the world of cosplay.
Okay, that sounds pretty cool.
But yeah, so that'll be out in the fall. Pretty exciting. All
right. Dope. We will definitely let people know when that comes out.
Yeah,
because I'm very excited for it. So
that's very cool.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
It looks gorgeous. Just I've seen the cover. They did a cover reveal a little while ago, and it looks gorgeous. So
yeah, Ian is the artist on it, and the pages that when I see them come in, especially when I was looking at like the character designs and all that stuff, like as yeah. like, the process, because like I finished writing it like 2019 or something
okay,
like that.
Wow. I know,
you know, it's been a minute, but yeah. Seeing it all kind of come in and seeing all the pages, like she's knocking it out of the park. She's doing incredible.
Nice.
Was this something that you wrote and then like shopped around, or did they come to you for this?
So they came to me for this. This is not a story that I came up with.
Okay.
This is you know, a property that they had and they needed a writer for. They found me, I think, via my webcomic Forged. I'm pretty sure is how that happened. I don't fully remember, but they got my email like somehow.
Yeah. Still, that's pretty dope.
Yeah,
though.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Anywhere else you want to plug on the internet? Oh, you're not super on Twitter, so I don't know.
I mean, at this point, I guess it's just my website. You know, davidpinkney.com is
okay.
Probably the best as it stands now.
Nice. All right. Well, let me see what episode is next. Oh, hell yeah. I don't know what this is going to be about, but I'm excited. Next time on Monday, we're going to be watching The Missing Bone.
Oh, boy.
I have no idea. Last time we saw a title that was really weird, and we were like, oh, what's that? It was Leader of the Whack, and that turned out to be great. So I'm very excited for this Missing Bone.
Well, it's probably like a fossil thing.
That's fine. Hey, I didn't mention this during the episode because I forgot about it until right now, but at the very beginning when they're just like at school for a second, I forgot how much I missed that they just like were kids sometimes. Like,
yeah.
So I'm hoping we get a lot more of that in The Missing Bone. I don't know what it is, but it's, yeah. So we'll see you on Monday for that. But until then,
may the power protect you. Check, 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 check. All right, that's good.
There was one of the recent episodes that I was editing. You were like, oh, I'm too loud. And then you like adjusted and it was fine. And then later, I don't know what happened, but it sounded like you were up here for like 1 second. And I was like, I know he doesn't move a lot while we record. I watch him the whole time. So I don't know what your mic is doing.